I will read the scripture. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 4 to 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 to 11. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that the day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us be not like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This morning, the focus will be on encouragement. We're going to look at verse 11 there, encourage one another, just as in fact you are doing, and building each other up. So we want to take a deeper look at that, and we want to cover basic, you know, your traditional 3 points this morning we want to get to. First thing we want to look at is, okay, where does our encouragement come from as believers? Where does our encouragement come from? Then we want to ask the question, well, what happens when we know where the encouragement comes from, but it's not coming? And then finally, we want to answer that question is, how can we find the encouragement that we all need? So where our encouragement come from, what happens when the encouragement doesn't come, and how to find that important encouragement. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we've all experienced at some point in our lives, and encouragement we can get simply from reading your word. And so, Lord, as we dive into it this morning, as we seek to understand encouragement, I pray that you would give me the words to speak, and that we could all come to a clear understanding of your word for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at where our encouragement comes from. Now, there's a very obvious answer here that we all get a lot of encouragement from this book right here, that we can spend time reading this, we can dive into it, and there are so many different passages and different verses and different entire books of the Bible that are just encouraging to read, that we can read them and gain encouragement. I know for me, you know, ever since I first started to read the Bible on my own as a personal devotional practice, I remember one of the first things I read that I received encouragement from is 1 Peter 5:7, and this is part of the text last week. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And I remember reading that in high school and just thinking, wow, God cares for me, and anything that I am anxious about, I should just give that to God. And I remember at a young age, that was very significant in my faith and significant in my understanding of who God was, that He cared in a personal way about the things that I'm going through, whether that's very trivial and immature, like things that can bother a high schooler, or significant things, that God wants us to cast all our anxiety, not just the big earth-shaking things, but all our anxiety onto Him. And that was very encouraging to me. Another book of the Bible that's been very encouraging to me is the book of Galatians. Just the understanding that we don't have to follow rules, that we don't have to do, you know, certain amounts of things to be counted as God's children. That Paul in the book of Galatians stresses over and over and over again that you are a child of God because of what God has done for you, because of faith in Him, not because of what you have to achieve, not because you are a good person, or not because you followed certain amounts of rules. So that idea of being a child of God has been an encouragement to me. And so we see that. Now, that's just two examples that have been significant in my life. And I'm sure there's, like I said, there's a whole book full of things here that can be encouraging to us. So we look at where our encouragement comes from. The Bible is definitely an important source of that. But I want to think there's a very important clarification, though, that I want to look at here. When we think about scriptural encouragement, encouragement that we find from the Word, encouragement that we find from God, and that is that the encouragement is always based on who God is, not based on who we are, not based on what we've done, or not based on what we're capable of. I think it's a very important thing that we need to understand and delineate the difference. That the encouragement in Scripture was always based on who God is, and who He is based on His love and what He is capable of doing and what He has done for us, not what we're capable of, not what we have done or can do. And that is an important difference. And I just want to highlight something. Now, this may date me a little bit, but back when Michael Jordan was in his heyday. So in the 80s, there is a Saturday Night Live skit. Now, Saturday Night Live does some things that are inappropriate, so I'm not necessarily encouraging everyone to watch Saturday Night Live. I haven't seen it for years and years and years, but I remember this skit that Michael Jordan, and we know, if you don't know Michael Jordan, he was arguably the best player to ever play basketball. And in his heyday, he was winning championships left, right, and center with the Bulls, and he was just, at that time, no question, the best player. And so he went on Saturday Night Live, and the skit was, you know, he was meeting with someone, and he's acting all discouraged, like, oh, I don't know if I can do these things, and I don't know how good I am. And the person looked at him and said, here's what you need to do, Michael. You need to look at the mirror and repeat this to yourself. He says, I'm good enough. Say to the mirror, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have seen that skit or not, but the irony is supposed to be that this is Michael Jordan, right? He doesn't need encouragement. He doesn't need people telling him that he's good enough and he's smart enough and that people like him, right? He's the best and most accomplished basketball player in the history of the game. So he shouldn't need that. But that's an important delineation that we need to understand, is that's not what the Bible says. When the Bible says when you're feeling down or you're feeling discouraged or you're feeling apathetic towards yourself or, you know, inferior or whatever else, the Bible doesn't say look in the mirror and say you're good enough and you're smart enough and doggone it, people like you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says look to God, who is God, and look who He is, look at what He's done, and look what He's promised to do, and get your encouragement from that. Not based on what you're capable of and what your accomplishments are and what you're capable of doing in the future. And that's a very important thing that comes out. Especially, and we can see that here in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as in fact you're doing. That very first verse there is therefore. So that means it's referencing back to something. What is our encouragement supposed to be based on? Paul says, encourage each other, build each other up. But he says, therefore. There's a reason you're supposed to be doing it. And look at the first couple of verses in front of it. It says, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore. So it's referencing back. Why do we encourage you? What are we encouraging each other with? Why should we encourage each other? Because of what Christ has done for us. Because of the promise He has given us. The promise that we won't suffer wrath. The promise that we have salvation. The promise that He has died for us. Those are the things that should be giving us encouragement. And when we encourage each other and build each other up, those are the things that we should be pointing to. And when we read those things, when we hear those things, and when we encourage each other, when we hear those things from each other, that should give us hope and encouragement and get us out of the despair that we can feel. So again, I want to keep stressing this over and over and over again, that our encouragement, the encouragement that we find in the Word, is based on the fact that the God who is the creator of the universe and the sustainer has chosen us as His children, has chosen to love us, and is a loving person, and He doesn't condemn us. That is where our encouragement comes from. It doesn't come from our abilities. Okay? It doesn't come from us looking at the mirror and saying, you're a good enough person. It doesn't come from us looking at the mirror and saying, you can do better next time, be encouraged. It comes from looking up to who God is and knowing that He has promised these things, knowing what He has already done for us, knowing that He has given us salvation. We get courage from that. I think there's two other verses that go along with this. In verse 9, it says, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. And I want to look at that a little bit further, because I think we always slip back into the mode of thinking that God is looking down on us and doesn't approve of what we're doing, and He condemns us. But John 3:17, you know, that verse right after one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." Jesus is not here to condemn us. He is not pointing the finger. He's not angry at us. Romans 8, verse 1 says, "And now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." We don't have condemnation. We have justification. God has rescued us. And that should be a source of great encouragement. Another way to put this is, the way we can be encouraged the most from the Word is just simply knowing who God is. We slip into carnal ways of thinking that God is angry and God wants to condemn us and God is mad at us for certain things that we have done or aren't doing. But there isn't condemnation for the believers. And that should be encouraging. Again, let's look into the Old Testament and see some references that they're similar. Isaiah 41, chapter 10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Again, this is a text that's very encouraging. But look at what God is saying. He doesn't say, don't fear because you're a strong person. He doesn't say, don't be dismayed because you're strong enough to get through this. He says, don't fear, for I am with you. Don't fear, for I am your God. Let's look at Psalm 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." Again, God is saying, be still. I am God. Don't get your encouragement from what you're capable of. Get your encouragement from me in the fact that I am God. There's something that's repeated over and over again in the book of Joshua and the book of Deuteronomy. When Joshua is coming into the promised land, over and over again, Moses says it to Joshua. God says it to Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous, for I am with you. Be strong and courageous. This whole idea of encouragement, right? That's the idea of giving other people courage, of being courageous. And God says over and over again to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And we can look at that as, you know, was God saying, you're gonna conquer the promised land on your own merits? You're gonna conquer the promised land because you're bigger and stronger and more powerful than the people in there? No, he's saying, I'm going to deliver those people to you. It's through my power, but I want you to be strong and courageous. I want you to trust in me. So this really shouldn't be that much of a surprise, because this is just a reflection of what the gospel tells us. The gospel tells us that our good news, our hope of salvation, our relationship with God is not based on anything that we've done. It's not based on anything that we can do. And it's not based on anything that we will do. The good news is based on what Jesus has done for us. The good news is based on who God is. That God is a loving and forgiving God. That the God who gives a God of second chances. The God who is full of grace, who has given us a covenant of grace and will forgive us our sins. That's the good news. And the good news is it's not based on us. It's not based on us performing a certain way. It's not based on us being so good. It's not based on us doing certain actions. It's not based on our church attendance. It's not based on our attitudes. It's all based on God. And that is the good news of the gospel. So it shouldn't be any surprise then that when we look at where our encouragement comes from, it comes from God. It's not a self-help thing. We know the self-help aisles in the bookstores are full of ways that you can better yourself. But that's not what the Bible is. The Bible is not the first self-help book. The Bible is a book that points away from yourself to someone who is bigger and stronger and more loving than you, that we can put our trust into. So where does our help come from? We can quote the scripture, our help comes from the Lord. And so that's where we need to find our encouragement. So remember, as you seek encouragement, don't look in first. Don't look in the mirror. Look up. Look to who God is and get your understanding from that of where your courage comes from. So that's all a very important aspect. But I think another question that needs to be asked then, well, what happens when we do all those things? What happens when we look up? What happens when we look to the Word and we look to understand who God is and we still don't feel encouraged? You know, I know there's many, many, many times in my life I've gone to the Word and I've felt inspiration. There are many different books that we can read and I've read that I've been inspired by. Blogs, Facebook posts, devotionals, you name it. There's so many ways that we can feel encouragement from God that He can do that. But there's certain times that it feels like we dip in that well and it comes up dry. There are certain times when we do the same thing that we've done before. We read the same scripture passage we've done before. We pray to God the same way we've done before. And it feels like that encouragement isn't there. It feels like something isn't happening right. How does that happen? Why does that happen? And I am very glad that I'm not the only one that has experienced that. As a matter of fact, that's an experience that is confirmed in Scripture. That is a normal part of the faith walk. That is a normal part of being human. That there are times when you just get deep and assuring encouragement from going into the Word and prayer and looking into God's face. And there are times when you do the exact same thing and nothing happens. And you feel empty and you feel dry and you feel like spiritually nothing is clicking. Why is that? Why is that? I don't know. But let's look at the word. Psalm chapter 10, verse 1 echoes the same thing. Psalm 10, verse 1 says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off?" We can see that the psalmist went through this. Or Psalm 43, verse 5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" Asking this question, why? I mean, I've done this before. I've been praising you before. I've felt your encouragement. I've felt your presence. But now I don't. And now my soul is disturbed. And now my soul is downcast. Why? Psalm 13, verse 1. "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" So the psalmist is saying the Lord is hiding his face. I've gone to seek the Lord. I've gone to the temple. I've prayed. I've praised. I've read. But it feels like the Lord is hiding his face from me. In Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?" And this psalm has particular importance for us as Christians because this is the psalm that Jesus recited while he was on the cross. He recited this word for word as he was on the cross, one of his last sayings, one of his last breaths while he is here in human form. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?" We saw that Jesus echoed something that had been written earlier in the Christian experience, in the experience of following God, that there are times when we go to the well and it feels dry and we don't know why. And we can cry out like the psalmist and ask why, but we don't always know why. That we can listen to the same sermons, we can read the same blogs, the same devotionals, the same books, the same Bible, and we feel dry. Now, I think there are some times that we can know why. We can look, take a step back and look at our life and say, well, I'm facing this horrible, stressful situation at work, or I'm facing this horrible, stressful situation with family or what have it. And it's like, okay, that's probably having an impact on my spirituality and my walk right now. So that's probably a factoring in to why I feel so dry. Or maybe there's something that you've done and you know that there's a sin in your life that you haven't confessed and repented. And you think, well, maybe that could be a reason. Or it could be that there's something that's been done to you. You know, someone has wronged you, and whether it's intentional or unintentional, you've been dealt a blow, a great pain, an emotional scarring, and you can see like that is hurting my walk with the Lord. So there are times that we can look and see, and we can identify the things that are causing this sense of dryness, that we're not getting the encouragement that we once got from the Word. So we can identify some of those things. But there's also some times when you can't identify anything. When there's no reasonable or logical or rational explanation for this, the kind of sense of abandonment that you're feeling, for the sense of you're not drawing closer to God. And this is, like I said, that's been echoed in the Psalms. In the 5th century, there's a guy named John of the Cross, who's one of the saints of the church. He labeled this time the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul. And maybe that's something you've heard before, but I think all Christians go through this time of a dark night of the soul where there's no reason that you can identify that you're going through something. There's no external event or external stressor that you can identify, but yet it feels like you're going through a dark night in your soul and you don't know why. And that's hard to go through. Now, there are a lot of people in John of the Cross and many modern writers as well have said, well, it's important to identify those times. It's important to identify those times that you're going through, you don't know why, but you're going through a desert area in your spirituality, and to identify those times that maybe God is doing something different in your life. Maybe it feels like God is drawing back. Maybe it feels like God is abandoning you, but this is just a different type of grace that he's showing you. I learned a new word when I was reading about this week. They identified this as an invasion of God's astringent grace. Astringent. So that basically means severe, sharp, stern, or harsh. That God is giving you a more harsh form of grace. That he's withdrawing the way he once revealed himself to you, and in drawing himself to you in a different way. And another way to think of this could be a type of spiritual purging or a spiritual refining, where he is refining you. You know, we sing the song Refiner's Fire, where you're going through the fire, through the dark night of the soul, and you don't know why, and you didn't cause it, and you don't know who did cause it, but you're going through it. It's important to identify that and say, okay, what is there to learn here? What is God trying to teach me? What is the grace for me in this moment? But I think it's important to identify that we go through those times, to name those times, and to not blame yourself for those times. That there are times when you experience God differently. That our faith walk is dynamic. There are mountaintops and there are valleys. And the valleys are not always our own making. They're not always something that we created and brought on ourselves. And they're not always something that someone else brought on us. That it happens. That we go through the dark night of the soul. And we can identify those with the psalmist. We can identify that as the dark night of the soul with John of the Cross. And we need to understand that we go through those times when things that seem to work earlier aren't working now. So then how do we find encouragement? How do we find encouragement as believers? Well, we know that the simple answer is to look to the Word. How do we find it when we're going through a dark night of the soul? And there's no real easy explanation of that. But I think the naming of it and having people come alongside you are probably the most effective ways to do it. To know that you're not going through this on your own. To know that you're not the first one to experience this. And to know that it's not necessarily your fault that you're experiencing it. But I think the best way is to have people walking with you. To have people giving you encouragement. I'll just give an example from my own life. Now, I'm thankful that, you know, right now I wouldn't identify as a dark night of the soul for my life. I've certainly been there before, and it'll probably come again, but not exactly right now. But this week was a fairly stressful week. We had meetings with the Ohio Conference that took a lot of emotional energy, and it was a hard week. And partway through that, kind of when I was feeling down from all the having to exert myself in all these different ways, I got a text. Now I have on my cell phone here a software called Covenant Eyes, and Covenant Eyes is basically an accountability software. Where anything that I look on my phone, I have a brother in Christ that will get an email and it says everything that I've looked at. And he just sent me a text and said, "Hey, Thomas, I just wanted to encourage you and let you know that the last number of reports that I've got from you are good, are great. You're not, you know, there's nothing that you've accessed on your phone that is any way, immoral or anything like that." And for me, that was a great encouragement. It was encouragement to get that. Not necessarily because he told me, "Hey, you've got a good report," because I knew the report was good. I know what I look at on my phone. But it was an encouragement to me because I knew that there was someone who cared enough about me to call or to text and say, "Hey, I took the time to look. I took the time to look through these reports. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm caring about you." And that's an investment that he is making into me. That's him taking time because he's my brother in Christ. And that's him saying, "I love you enough to walk with you to make sure that your walk is pure and to walk with you to keep you accountable." And that is a form of love. And for me, that was very encouraging to get that because that was a time, like I said, it was a pretty stressful week. It was just one of those things that buoyed me. That I had someone that I knew cared for me. I had someone that I knew was looking out for me, knew that they were praying for me, and took the time to encourage me in that. That's I think, something that we all need. Now, I should say here, just because the biblical encouragement is based on who God is, just because biblical encouragement points to God and not to ourselves, when we think about us walking together, it's certainly not wrong to encourage people based off things that they've done, right? So that doesn't mean that we can't say, "Hey, you did a great job with leading worship and the music this morning." It doesn't mean you just say, "Hey, I really appreciate the way you led Sunday school." I mean, those are things that you can say, okay? I'm not, just because the Bible says encouragement comes ultimately from God, from looking to Him, doesn't mean that we can't encourage our brothers and sisters by affirming things that are in them. But I think we need to just to recognize that I think the ultimate encouragement, number one, comes from God because we know that He loves us. And secondly, encouragement comes from people, brothers and sisters, that we know love us. So even when you affirm someone and you encourage something for a gift that they have, for a thing that they've done, for something that you see in them, and you say, "I think you could do this," those things are great to hear. That's a great affirmation to hear. But I think ultimately the message that we're hearing is, wow, someone cares for me. Someone loves me enough to recognize those things. Someone loves me enough to tell me those things, to tell me that I did something well, to tell me that you know, I'm loved. And that is where our ultimate encouragement comes from. Knowing that we are loved by the Father, and then knowing that we are loved by our brothers and sisters that are here walking this walk with us. So as we look at what the elders are wanting to do in the coming year as meeting with everybody. Like, this is what the elders want. This is the heart of what the elders are saying, is we want everyone here at Crown Hill to know this, to know that there are brothers and sisters that are walking with you, to know that there are people here that love you, to know that there are people here that want to encourage you, that want to be with you, and want to know you. That's really important, that we know that there are people walking with us. And I think that's, if we want to summarize what the elders are saying, that's probably it right there. The elders want to shepherd this flock, to shepherd us in a way that is loving. And the way to best encourage people is to know what they're going through, to know the joys of everyone's life, to know the struggles of everyone's life, to know where that encouragement would be best needed, to how to best encourage people. And that's what the elders want. And that has to be a reciprocal relationship. I could never be encouraged by my brother in Christ if I didn't approach him and say, hey, would you be interested in entering into an accountability relationship with me? And that's similar to what the elders are doing. The elders are kind of taking that first step, and they're saying, hey, we'd like to meet with all you guys, and we'd like to get to know you. We'd like to get to know who you are. We'd like to get to know your spiritual walk, to know what it is that gives you joy in life, what it is that's giving you stress in life, so we can pray for you, that we can love you, and that we can encourage you. And that takes courage on both people's side. It takes the elders to take that first step, and I know I'm hearing the elders speak, there's some nervousness about that. Can we really do that? How's it going to work? So the elders I need some encouragement in doing this as well, but there also needs to be that mutual reciprocal relationship, that as we both open up to each other, we as a congregation can love each other, that we as a congregation can encourage each other, and ultimately we can draw closer to the chief shepherd, who is the source of all of our encouragement. Let's pray. Dear God, we all need encouragement on a daily basis. And Lord, we know that we have a deep well that we can draw from in who you are and who you revealed in your word and your love and your mercy towards us. And Lord, sometimes it seems so easy. We just read a passage and it just is rich for our souls. And sometimes we read the same passage and it feels dry. And so Lord, whatever stage of life and stage of faith that everyone in this room is, Lord, I pray encouragement over them. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them, who you are, how you love them, and how you're not condemning them. And Lord, I pray for the elders that we can play the role of encouraging each other and building each other up, that we can model this for our church and for the world so that we can be stronger in you and ultimately reach out and share that good news with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.